So today's topic, a bit of a follow-up to last week, the power of encountering Jesus. You know that we're in a series on prayer. I say it again, prayer is for God's glory, not primarily about us getting what we want, but it's about God and bringing glory to God. And biblical prayer is really about praying God's will, hearing God, what God wants us to pray about, hearing what God's will is, and then praying according to God's will. As our prayer pastor used to say, prayer is telling God what he tells us to tell him. Last week was Easter Sunday. We talked about the power of prayer. All authority has been given to Jesus. He shares that power, that authority with us. And we have to meet certain conditions, like praying for God's glory, praying God's will, living holy lives, all those things. But Jesus said, if we meet these conditions, and if we do pray according to God's will, then nothing will be impossible to us. We can pray powerful prayers, and we can pray prayers that move mountains. One of the results of Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus has received all power, Jesus shares that power with us, and nothing is now impossible to us. Sometimes people think, yeah, God is withholding from me, and yeah, maybe he's blessing other people, but he's certainly not giving me that power. Well, truth is, God is not withholding anything from us. He has already given us everything we need to pray powerful prayers. The question is just whether we meet the conditions so that God answers to these kinds of prayers. So today's focus is a bit a follow-up on that, the power of encountering Jesus. Originally, this wasn't part of my plan for this sermon series, but we did a Bible reading as a family over Easter, and I used this passage, and I realized, well, this is something that is very relevant here for Aletheia as well, so that's why we will cover this topic as well. And like I said, it's a follow-up to last week's sermon. Today is a bit different. We're going to have a shorter sermon, and then we're going to have some time to meditate on the topic and hear what God wants to say to us personally. Now, let me give you the context. Jesus just rose from the dead, but hardly anybody knew yet. He hasn't met many people yet. There were obviously some rumors flying around, but most people didn't believe these rumors yet. Most people were like, yeah, there are some crazy people over there who believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but there is no evidence of that. I haven't seen him myself yet. So I don't think that this is actually what really happened. So that's the kind of situation that we are in. And then we read this. And I messed up here in my notes, so I have to read it from the PowerPoint today. And then after that, I'll get back to my note. Luke 24. Behold, two of them, meaning two of the disciples, we don't know if they were of the 12 disciples, probably not, but two followers of Jesus. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they discussed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were held that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of words are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, are you a stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we hoped that it was he who should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yeah, and certain women also of our company made us astonished who were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. And certain of them who were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village where they were going, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat to eat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. All right. So there's a lot to unpack in this story. Could be a whole sermon series in itself. But I want to focus on one particular part, the transformation of these two disciples. How their lives were changed and transformed simply because they encountered Jesus personally. Part one of the story, they met Jesus, they knew Jesus, they talked with Jesus, but they did not recognize him. These disciples were with Jesus, but they lived a life as if Jesus was dead. They came alongside him, they talked to each other, they talked to him, they heard from him, but the disciples didn't realize yet that it was actually Jesus. What was the state that they were in? They obviously were with Jesus. They told Jesus all the things that happened to him, kind of ironic. They talked with him. They even tried to explain to him what had happened in Jerusalem in the 3 days ago. So how would we describe the situation? I think first of all, they were blinded. They were with Jesus, but they didn't recognize that it was Jesus. They didn't realize who they were talking to. And because of that, nothing changed in their lives. They still felt defeated. We lost the fight. When Jesus was with us, we had hope. But now, Jesus is no longer with us. Now, we feel hopeless. We can't achieve anything without him. Our only hope is gone. They felt defeated. They felt purposeless. Without Jesus, what should we do with our lives now? What's there left? We had a higher purpose as long as Jesus was alive. We thought that we were on the winning side. We thought that we had found what we were looking for. And now that Jesus is gone, what's the point? Their hope was gone. Their purpose was gone. Jesus is gone. What should we do now? Our hope, our purpose are gone. Our lives are pointless. is nothing worth living for any longer. They lost everything. We don't know when they started to follow Jesus, but obviously it must have been in the last 3 years. So we don't know if their lives had been transformed for a month, for a year, for 2 years, or maybe the whole 3 years. But in their minds, in all this time that they followed Jesus, they thought that they were on the winning side. They thought that we had found what we were looking for. And now it's all gone. Jesus is dead. We put our hope in a person. We put our trust in the person. We lived to follow a person. And now he's gone. And we don't know what to do with our lives any longer. Our purpose is gone. Our hope is gone. The person that we followed doesn't exist any longer. And they felt defeated. Somehow, they didn't recognize Jesus. It's obvious that Jesus must have looked different in some form, that they didn't really recognize him. His resurrection body didn't just look the way that he looked before, but still, they did not recognize him. They saw him, they talked with him, they heard his voice, but somehow, they did not make the connection, and they didn't realize Jesus rose from the dead. So they didn't recognize him, but somehow they were also drawn to Jesus. Somehow they also wanted to be with him. They wanted Jesus to stay with them. They didn't want to part ways with him. And after they recognized him later on, they said that their hearts were burning. So something happened inside of them already. They wanted to be with Jesus. They were attracted to Jesus. They loved spending time with Jesus. But at this point, if you had asked them, "Where is your hope?" they would have said, "My hope is gone. Jesus is dead. I don't know what to live for any longer." And they just felt defeated. Can you relate to that? Do you sometimes have a season like that? Where you just feel like, yeah, I'm doing all these religious activities, I'm going to church, I'm praying, I'm reading the Bible. Sometimes we feel just like these disciples. And we feel like, I'm doing everything I can, but I'm just not getting through. I'm just stuck in my faith. I feel hopeless, and it doesn't feel like anything is coming back from Jesus, even though I'm doing all the religious things, but it just doesn't seem to work for me. If that's where we feel right now, the good news is there's a breakthrough. We'll look into that in a second, and that's what our focus is. Then verse 30, came to pass, as he sat to eat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. We don't know how long exactly he spent with them, but definitely more than 5 minutes. I would guess that they talked with him for hours. First they walked together, they traveled together. Then later on, they ate together. So they must have spent hours with him. And after all this time of being with him, talking with him, explaining to him what had happened to him and all these things, suddenly they realized, this is really Jesus. He is really alive. He really did rise from the dead. And all these rumors that we heard from the women, from the disciples, all those people who were like, yeah, Jesus is alive, it's actually true. And they recognized Jesus is alive. Suddenly they recognized him. Something supernatural must have happened inside of them. Something that they couldn't earn, but something that only God could do. And God said, now is the time for me to reveal myself to you. And they recognized Jesus, that Jesus is alive. The text says their eyes were opened. Obviously not physical eyes, but spiritual eyes, so they could recognize Jesus. Somehow, God removed the veil, and they saw Jesus for who he truly is, the resurrected King. And then, after that kind of revelation, they were able to put together the dots. Verse 32 and 33, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Now I got it. What happened to them? Now they were able to look back and say, the whole time that we were talking to Jesus, our hearts were burning. They recognized the signs were always there. We just weren't able to connect the dots. This whole time we saw, yes, Jesus does something inside of me. Our hearts were burning. Something supernatural has happened all the time. Now we see that it's truly him. Signs were always there. We could have recognized him at any time. We just ignore the signs. Maybe because they were defeated, maybe because they felt depressed, we don't know. But this whole time, they realized Jesus was working in my heart and he was changing my heart. And then, how do we see that their lives changed? They went back to Jerusalem. Think about the setting. They had just traveled to this village the whole day. It was a distance of around 12 kilometers. So this was not just like walking from here to your home or something, and half an hour you are there. No. This was a dangerous journey in the middle of the night. 12 kilometers, no lights or something that we can enjoy here, in the middle of nowhere, through streets that were dark and all those things. This was a dangerous journey. You were not supposed to travel at this time of the day because robbers were there and everything. And if something happens, you can't just pull out your mobile phone like today and say, hey, police, please come here quickly. I'm getting attacked. You were lost. And what did they do? They just walked back. 12 kilometers through the middle of nowhere. Why? Because they said, the disciples have to know. We have to tell the others. It's actually true. Earlier, they told Jesus, hey, it's late. Please stay with us. Let's sleep here together. And now they said, we can't sleep anymore. Jesus is alive, and we have to tell others. Before, they felt defeated. They felt hopeless. They felt purposeless. And now they felt full of energy, full of excitement. And they were unable to keep it to themselves. And they were driven just by this one thought. We have to tell others. We have to tell everyone we can. And if that means that we are going on a dangerous journey in the middle of the night, so be it. But we have to tell others. What a difference an encounter with Jesus made. From defeated, purposeless, hopeless, to alive, taking huge risks just to tell some other people Jesus is alive. And what caused this transformation? A revelation of the resurrected Jesus. They encountered the risen Christ. They were in Jesus' presence. They talked with him. But that wasn't enough, because they had that before. But what then really changed them was a transformation, a personal encounter by Jesus. Not just talking with him, not just being in his presence, all of that wasn't enough. But what then did the trick was a supernatural revelation by God himself to say, I'll show you that this is really, truly Jesus. And when they received that, their lives were transformed. A personal encounter, not just hearing about Jesus, not just hearing about others being transformed, not just hearing about other people's stories, but a personal revelation. Somehow, Jesus chose to reveal himself to these two men supernaturally, not just head knowledge, not just hearing about Jesus, not just, in our terms, not just reading the Bible, not just spending time with God, not just praying, but somehow Jesus said, I will reveal myself to these two men now, to their hearts. I will supernaturally reveal myself in ways that human beings cannot. And I can show you to these two men, I show you that I'm truly alive. And that's what changed their hearts. That's what changed their lives. And that's what allowed them afterwards to say, we are going back. We were tired, we felt defeated, we felt lost. But now we are going to go back to Jerusalem because we are so excited and we have to tell others. So what does that mean for us? How are our lives transformed? Well, we can fall in that same trap. We can fall into religion. We often think and also act as if our transformation depends on us. And saying, oh, I have to try harder. I have to pray more. I have to be more holy. I have to serve more. I have to do more good works. I have to be a good person to other people and all those things. And we can fall in that same trap as if our transformation depends on us. This story, and of course many other stories in the New Testament and also in the Old Testament, tell us something else. It really doesn't depend on us. It really doesn't depend on our performance. It all depends on God. So what can we do? We simply can ask God for the kind of personal encounter that these disciples had. Not head knowledge, not hearing about Jesus, not simply believing in our heads what Jesus did to other people. But we can ask God, God, I need a personal encounter with you. I need a personal revelation with you. I want you to transform my life just you did to these two guys on the road of Emmaus. You just revealed yourself to them, and in an instant they were transformed, and they took a huge risk, and their lives were never the same again. Do the same in me. Do the same in my life. Change me just like you changed these two men. I think some of us need this kind of encounter today as well. Maybe we never had this type of encounter. Maybe we never had this kind of revelation. And maybe for some of us, we really thought, like, I have to perform better, and then God will reveal himself to me. Or maybe we had this kind of encounter before, but it's so long ago, and it's not there anymore and doesn't really help us anymore. Maybe we feel like the disciples walking with Jesus on the road. We talk with Jesus. In other words, we pray, we read our Bible, we do all these religious activities, but we feel like something is missing. I'm not really in a love relationship like I used to be. And we're wondering, why is my Christian walk not what it used to be? We try to be better, but nothing seems to help. Maybe God is whispering to some of us today, stop striving. Stop trying to earn your salvation. Stop trying harder. Stop trying to earn your own transformation. Just do what these disciples did. Just be transformed in the presence of God. Simply ask God to change us, to reveal himself to us, to transform us. Simply ask Jesus to change our hearts. And then see what God does. Because we cannot change ourselves, but only God can change us. So I want to finish here from my side. And I want us all to hear from God ourselves. How does this apply to me? What does God want to do in my life? What is he saying to me personally? So we'll spend some time soaking. And then let's see how God leads us from there. Father, thank you for this story. Thank you for changing these two men who were defeated, who were hopeless, who thought they lost everything. And even when they were with you, they still didn't recognize that it was you. So Lord, we pray that you will give us an encounter today, just like these two men. An encounter with the risen Christ. An encounter with your power. An encounter with your presence. An encounter with your love, whatever we need. But we pray, Lord, that you will encounter our hearts today. And you will change us just like you changed these two men. So help us today to just surrender to you and let you change us. And help us, Lord, to not strive any longer, but to simply let you do all the work. So here we are, Jesus. Encounter us and change us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's spend some time just listening to him, and then we see how he leads us.